Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
Hi, this is Jenny Lee Grace. Welcome to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio.
Hi, and welcome to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show and podcast on UK Health Radio. I'm Jenny Lee Grace. On the show, I love talking about a huge range of topics. One thing I've covered before, but I've kind of done it in a different way, is the whole issue of the menopause. Now, of course, we're talking about it a lot more than we ever used to. It's everywhere. But there's kind of one narrative at the moment, and that is this narrative that everyone should have HRT. And there is there's not a lot of voices in the arena of doing this naturally, although I have had some chats before. But anyways, I don't think I've ever spoken to a homeopath on this show, and certainly not a homeopath who specializes in the menopause. So what a great opportunity. Please welcome Sarah Davison.
Once again, we are talking about the menopause. I mean, what a topic, particularly for those of us who have ditched the booze, or we're trying to ditch the booze. We certainly recognise that that alcohol and the menopause are certainly not a good mix. So this is a great topic for this show. So really delighted to welcome Sarah Davison, a natural menopause expert and homeopath, to the show. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us.
It's really exciting to be here. Thanks for inviting me, Janie.
Yeah, great to chat to you. So just tell us a little bit about your background first. Just let's hear a bit about you and your work.
Absolutely. So this is my third career. So I started life as a linguist. I went into international ad sales, thought this isn't really me, but I don't know what else to do. So I kept going with that for 7 years. Then I went back to college, did a degree in psychology, thinking people is my thing and I'll become a clinical psychologist, but I married one instead. And then I went into 15 years in a corporate innovation consultancy working with the big blue chips. I loved that because there was a kind of facilitation element. It was all about people, lots of training, which I, you know, there's a part of me that's a teacher and I love to teach things. And then I hit perimenopause, but I didn't know. So I'd married late. I'd had a kid at 41, which I think really took it out of me. And when I was trying to kind of manage a toddler and I was doing a very stressful job and I was in my kind of early mid-40s, it just hit me like a sledgehammer, but I had no idea what it was. I'd never even heard the word perimenopause.
No, it's only fairly recently we've heard it, isn't it?
And menopause, as far as I was concerned, wasn't even on my radar. You know, it was something that happens like, you know, way over then when you're like over 50 and you get a bit hot and your periods stop. Different now. But I now realise with hindsight that what I was doing was what I call perimenopausal burnout or perimenopausal adrenal fatigue. So I was exhausted, I was weak, I was anxious beyond, like I couldn't do the things that I used to be able to do. I was breaking out in rashes, I was having serial respiratory infections, I couldn't remember anything, couldn't get up the stairs without stopping, and I just thought I was losing it. I thought it was stress. And this is a thing, a lot of women put these symptoms down to stress because, like me, they don't know that you can start getting menopause symptoms while you still have a regular cycle and not a hot flush in sight. Anyway,
right? Yeah,
I took myself off to my homeopath, who I hadn't seen for a couple of years. And the results were so amazing that I thought, wow, I have to do this for a living. I mean, I'd always been a fan. I mean, for like 15 years or so, I'd been, you know, had my home prescribing kit and travel with stuff and handed out remedies and, you know, read the books and stuff, but never, ever occurred to me that I might train to be a homeopath. Anyway, I did. So I left my job, went back and did another degree in homeopathic medicine. And, well, the rest is history, really. That was 11 years ago that I qualified. And I then started to specialise in menopause. So that's what I now help women with.
Yeah, amazing. You're absolutely right. You know, it's only in recent years we've heard the word perimenopause. And actually, it's only in fairly recent years that we've started talking about the menopause because, you know, it's a taboo thing. I mean, why it is, for God knows, it's ridiculous. I have no idea why it should be, but it really is, isn't it? You know, it's not.
It is.
I don't remember my mum ever in all her days ever mentioning the word. It's just not done, is it? It's just not talked about enough. I mean, it's changing, I know, but certainly up till a few years ago, it was just some kind of agony that women used to go through in secret and they didn't really talk about it.
Well, I agree. And I think I have a couple of hypotheses as to why it might be so taboo. First of all, it's about women's bodies. That's gradually, things have been coming into light about what really happens when you give birth to a child, and that menopause has been like the last bastion, I think, of taboo around women's bodies. And then I think the other thing is to do with our culture and the way we define beauty as only being young beauty, youthful beauty, and that I think this society worships youth and beauty.
And yeah, I think no, absolutely.
And we revile aging.
And I think that's so true.
A lot of women feel like, oh my God, menopause. I mean, I've met women who don't even want me to mention the word.
Yeah. Well, it's true. We are, you know, that lovely word, the crone, you know, as we get into that, older years and you know, I mean, there are cultures where that would be totally revered, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
As you are the woman of wisdom, you know, and you know, it's as I get older, you know, I value older women. I mean, just incredibly, you know, they really are the ones changing the world, but it's not often how it's seen. So you're absolutely right. The whole and I know for a fact that years ago, certainly when I was drinking, I was terrified of getting older, terrified. I mean, really, I just did not, everything about getting older just terrified me, because you're right, that is the culture that, you know, kind of supports it all. So of course it's difficult to talk about it.
I do imagine that women, you know, women may, one of the ways that they anaesthetize those feelings of dread might be alcohol.
Oh, 100%.
Or sugar.
100%. You know. Both and.
And you mentioned the crone thing, because is it all right?
Yeah, sure, please do.
The crone thing. So, you know, that's the third, meant to be the third stage of the ages of women, of woman, you know, maiden, mother, crone. But actually, and I rather like this, there's a new phase that's been introduced that I really like, which is before you hit crone, which for me, crone, you know, when I think about the image of crone, it's from 80. That's crone.
Oh, is it? Yes, I know what you mean. Yeah.
But there's a new stage that people are talking about, which is queen.
Oh, okay. Yes, absolutely. Yes, I've heard this one. The queenager. Yes, absolutely.
And the queenagers. And,
yes,
you know,
I'll take that.
Because teenagers, you know, it's all about the changing hormones. And in queenagers, it's all about the changing hormones.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'll definitely take that one. I like it.
UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So just before we, you know, obviously we're going to talk about your approach to it all and your recommendations and all of that stuff. Before we do that, let's just sort of talk about the current, you know, kind of state of play is that there is now quite a lot of talk about menopause in the media, but it's all about HRT. And unless I'm mistaken, it's just my perception, it seems to me that if we talk about menopause, the next word is HRT. And for someone who does the work that I do, I find this hugely frustrating, because you're quite right, many of the women that I work with will have been drinking for years. They get these menopausal symptoms, they carry on drinking, or perhaps the drinking even ramps up, then they rock up to a GP and say, you know, I've got anxiety, I've got mood swings, I've got dry this, I've got dry that, I've got headaches, I can't sleep, and on and on. And then they're given HRT, often antidepressants as well, by the way, but they're given HRT, but they're never, almost never asked about their drinking. So they're literally medicating on top of medication.
Yeah.
It's a really nasty mix.
And you're not the only one who's frustrated.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, alcohol and the menopause do not mix, but you know, alcohol, the menopause and HRT. Oh my God, what is going on? There's something really wrong about all of this. So I'm not saying that HRT is wrong for everyone. It may be, it may not be, you know, I don't know enough about it, but I do know that you shouldn't be taking anything unless you've looked at the balance of other medication, right? Would you agree with me that there is too much focus on HRT and really not enough on the fact that this is a natural, in inverted commas, aging process?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I feel so strongly about that it's all about HRT. And, you know, it is a natural aging process. Like, Janie, do we expect flowers to bloom all year round? Mm.
Yeah.
No, we don't. Try to hurry teenagers through puberty. I mean, what's the difference? It's a natural process, and you know, HRT has become, I think it's a great solution for many people if that's where you want to go. But what we need to recognize is that according to the latest Gen M study of 2000 women, 49% of women do not want to take HRT. Mm. So then what happens, in my experience, for those women is because there isn't much about how natural medicine works, how you might go about it. What commonly will happen, and I'd love to see if there are any nods in the audience with this, is that a woman will go, okay, I really need to do something about these symptoms because I can't stand it. And then they go, really don't want to take HRT because that's the way, you know, that's their part of their belief system. And then they go online and they Google natural solutions or natural remedies for menopause. And what comes up is black cohosh, clover, evening primrose oil, soya, ashwagandha. Now, I'm not saying that these things don't work, but natural medicine is very different from mainstream medicine. In mainstream medicine, it's one ill, i.e. one diagnosis, is one pill.
Yeah, exactly. Pill so for every ill.
Menopause equals HRT.
Mm.
But speaking as a homeopath, so black cohosh, red clover, they're herbal medicine. Mm. I'm a homeopath. In homeopathy, if you have hot flushes, if I go to what's called my repertory, which is my symptom dictionary, and I look up hot flushes, 551 medicines come up.
Wow.
Now, that does not mean that 551 medicines will work for any hot flush. Mm. The point is that only a two or three are going to work for each individual. So what I give you for a hot flush would be totally different from what I give the other person, because I'm taking into account all the other symptoms and presentations.
Yeah. It's that holistic picture, isn't it? That's so missing from well, all pretty much all mainstream medicine. They don't do the holistic picture.
No, they don't.
They just do the one aspect. Yeah, I get that completely. So you look at that kind of the kind of constitution, as it were, and prescribe, in inverted commas, for the whole picture.
Yes, it's very, very individualized. And the other thing I think that happens for women, you know, which I totally understand, is that we believe that if it's natural, it's harmless.
Mm.
So when you go and self-prescribe over-the-counter black cohosh, red clover, because it's worked for your friend or because Google said it does, and Google says it does, because there are studies, scientific studies that say it does. But when you do that, at best, it's hit and miss. If you've had results with it, fantastic. That's great, because it does work when prescribed for the right situation. But at worst, it is a little bit risky because it's a herb. That's what pharmaceutical medication made out originally. And so, you know, if you take too much of that, you know, it has side effects. So you may be self-prescribing yourself that is something that is actually making things worse. Or the third option is you try red clover, doesn't work. You try black cohosh, doesn't work. You try even primrose oil, doesn't work. Meantime, you're continuing to suffer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Can you just explain for us, because I know there'll be people thinking, okay, but my HRT is bioidentical hormones, so that's okay. Can you explain for anyone who doesn't, you know, well, I'm sure there'll be many people who don't know what that means. Can you explain the difference
between bioidentical hormones
and conventional HRT?
Well, bioidentical is usually done from plants, which is like closer to the estrogen and progesterone molecules that we create. I say closer. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not an expert on this, I have to say. So, you know, take what I say with a little bit of a pinch of salt. But as I understand it, the molecules are closer to the human molecule. What we don't, and so it's assumed that they're safer. What we don't know is that, well, actually we don't know, because that hasn't been used long enough for us to have any studies to show whether it can have, you know, long-term bad health effects or not, or whether it's totally fine.
We
actually don't know that. Whereas normal HRT, which is not bioidentical, is much more chemical. It's synthetic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of man-made molecules.
I mean, I hear a real range of views and experiences around this. So there are women who report that they love their HRT. They feel fantastic. They feel young again. They've got their libido back. They've got, you know, everything's rocking, and they really feel like they're just delighted and they feel great. And then there are others who still have all kinds of issues, even though they're on HRT. And you have to wonder, well, hold on, are you taking a sledgehammer to crack a nut here? You know, might there be another way? So I'm not even quite sure what the question is, but I suppose it comes back to this sense of, you know, we really do need to work with the individual and the whole, as it were. I actually did have a question from a sober club member, which I know I just wanted to ask you this one because I thought it was quite interesting. So this woman says, I came off an antidepressant after 10 years, and that's when the perimenopause symptoms became really apparent and really quite unbearable. So I am taking HRT now, but all kinds of issues, aches, pains, all kinds of stuff, not sleeping well, you know, and her question is, well, you know, are there supporting things, supplements or whatever, that she could take alongside the HRT? Now, I'm guessing you're going to say it's not your area, but I just think that raises a few interesting points, doesn't it? Because the antidepressants piece definitely plays a part.
Yeah. So in her case, and her case is not unusual. Let me start from a different place. We need a healthy liver to have a good menopause. And what affects the liver or congests the liver? Sugar, alcohol. Drugs.
Medication.
All the additives and the dioxins and all the stuff the whole place is full of toxins, unfortunately, and we just have to bear with that. You know, our liver is there as our dustbin.
Yes.
But it is there as our dustbin, and it's there to deactivate estrogen. So she, from 10 years of antidepressants, I imagine her liver and her gut have been affected. We also need gut
health. Yeah, absolutely.
We have a whole family of microbes in our gut called the estrobilome, as in estrogen, and they regulate estrogen. So if your liver's not in a good shape and your gut's not in good shape because you've had 10 years of antidepressants, it doesn't surprise me that HRT is not doing what it needs to do, because I mean, actually, by adding in HRT, you're now giving the liver something extra.
Yeah, and not helping the gut either.
So, I mean, you know, so what could she do? She needs to do a menopause-friendly diet. She needs to really get her liver in shape, get her gut, look after her gut. I mean, those are the main things in her case. I mean, is it interesting for me to share a similar case story?
Please do.
So I had a patient who was, she'd always, well, since her 20s, she'd always suffered with premenopausal rage and terrible migraines. Now, when she got into perimenopause, those became... they weren't just cyclical. They were like, you know, a lot of the time, like all month. And she was a bit desperate with it. So when I looked at her history in her late teens and her early 20s, i.e. leading up to the time when the migraines and the rage started, she had bad acne and she was given a huge course of antibiotics. She was given a whole year of a very strong contraceptive pill. And then... she was put on Ruacutane, which is a very aggressive acne drug that, you know, if you read the side effects, not only does it say harms the liver, but it also says can cause depression. She then got depression.
I was going to say, a lot of those side effects papers say may cause death.
yes. So she then, as a result of that, I think, got depression, was put on Prozac for 20 years. So,
oh my God,
she came to me, I looked at this history and thought, we have to detox her liver before I do anything else. So we detoxed her liver, and it was, you know, I will always remember the email she sent me about 10 days, 2 weeks into starting it. She wrote to me and she said, oh my goodness, what a ride I've had. She said, in the first like 5 days, I broke out in boils. Now, for a homeopath, I'm going, hooray.
Detox symptoms.
The liver is chucking the toxins onto the skin.
Yeah.
I think, great. And then she said, after about 5 days, it all cleared up. She said, I feel like my old self. I barely started treatment with her. It's just detoxing her liver.
Right. Really interesting. Yeah. I mean, on that note, I have had several clients who have found that just by stopping alcohol, their menopausal symptoms have gone, literally gone. It can be that magical.
you know, it can be.
But talk to me about a good menopausal diet then, because this is something that we're all going to be really interested in. And I've heard about, you know, benefits of sort of phytoestrogen foods, but really share some fabulous tips with us, will you please, on what we should eat.
I'm going to tell you what not to do.
Okay. Yeah.
So, I've got a blank now. just, that sometimes happens to me.
Well, so, I guess you're going to say reduce sugar to start with.
Well, do not cut calories.
No, exactly. I always say that to people because, when they're stopping drinking as well.
Because the adrenals, which are the organs that produce your stress hormones, they are having to work extra hard in menopause to pick up the slack in the production of the sex hormones.
Yeah.
They produce sex hormones when the ovaries wind down and they get really tired. And if you fast, the other thing I would say is don't do intermittent
fasting. I was just going to ask you, a couple of the Sober Club members wanted to ask about fasting.
It stresses the adrenals.
Yeah.
And I just wouldn't do that. So you need to have a balanced diet. So one of the things to do is use the plate. So do you remember we used to have the pyramid?
That's
been thrown out now, although they're still recommending it in the NHS. It was really not good because the base of it was carbs.
But the current plate is pretty rubbish as well, isn't it?
Well, no, I think it's okay because
I haven't seen it lately.
50% vegetables.
Oh, okay.
It's 25% carbohydrates, but we want like whole carbohydrates. I'll talk about that in a moment. And it's 20% protein,
yeah,
and then you have to have fat. So that's the other don't cut out fat.
You need really good fats.
Because why? We make hormones from fat.
Exactly. And it's this stuff, it's so kind of basic, and yet we all forget it. It's so important.
Well,
because
fat has bombarded been vilified with,
exactly, totally. And we're bombarded with so much nonsense information. Yeah. And we've got this sense that, oh my goodness, I'm getting older. I'm piling on the pounds. Oh God, I need to start fasting. I need to go on a diet. I need to have low fat this, low sugar this. Definitely not.
Low fat is terrible because it's full of carbs.
Exactly.
And let me just say, if it tastes sweet, it's got sugar in it.
Yeah.
True. Even if it's fruit. So it's not that you should cut out fruit, but we have to be a bit careful with fruit. Don't eat it on an empty stomach. If you want something sweet, have it on the back of a protein meal. It burns more slowly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. And then the other, I mean, there are various estrogenic foods that help, but the one I really like is linseed.
Oh, really?
So flax seeds or linseeds. What I do is I grind them or I buy them ground because they're better absorbed by the intestine and they don't suck all the water out of the intestine. And what I do is actually, it sounds pretty disgusting, but I have various things that I take in the morning to help my gut. So I drink my tea until it's down to about here and a bit lukewarm. And then I add in 2 tablespoons of linseed so that it soaks up. It goes kind of a bit jelly-like. Yeah, gloopy, that's the word. And then I add some prebiotics, which helps the gut bacteria. Mm-hmm. And I go and do some washing up to let it soak in a bit. And then I just kind of spoon it, and, you know, that's me done.
Mm. Could you put it into a, you know, like a juice or a smoothie?
Yeah, you can put it into smoothies, porridge, soups, on salads. I mean,
So would you say linseeds or flax seeds or both?
The same thing. I think
it's the same thing. Yes, of course it is. Yeah, of course it is.
And Linwood, who make a lot of these ground seeds and nuts stuff, they've started doing a menopause blend, which I'm quite impressed with.
That's interesting.
And extra vitamins, and it's called Meno Ligna.
Oh, interesting. Great. That's a great Meno fit. Ligna. Okay. And then would you kind of recommend things like, endinami beans and soybeans? I'd love to hear your take on soy because, that's had a lot of bad press, right?
Yeah. I think with soya, you're best to go for fermented, like miso. Miso's delicious. You can put it in sauces and dips and stews and...
Or tofu if it's good.
If it's fermented, that's fine. Mm. But, soybeans, they can be a bit goitrogenic. They can inhibit the thyroid. Mm. And the thyroid does get affected by the menopause. And then that has a cascading effect on all the other endocrine organs, including your estrogen and progesterone. Mm.
So it wouldn't be a good idea to be drinking soy milk all day?
No, at all. I would say have it fermented.
Yeah, I agree. Anything else you want to share with us in terms of diet?
Oh, there's a lot really, but you know, make sure you get your fat, make sure you get your carbs, but not white carbs.
So we want whole grains.
Whole grains, sweet potatoes, squash, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
And plenty of fiber, plenty of greens.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then in terms of supplements, you know, again, I mean, I know we could talk forever in a day, but is there kind of one or two that you would say, you know, really?
Well, let's be clear, I'm not a nutritionist, so I don't need supplements, but I mean, everybody needs vitamin D.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Vitamin D3 and have it blended with K2.
Yeah.
Because the K2 makes sure that the calcium that has an action on doesn't go to your arteries, it goes to your bones, and that's where we need it.
Yeah. On that note, actually, that's a really good point. Tell us about the impact of on our bones, really, as we get older, and this whole kind of concern around getting osteoporosis and all of this stuff that you hear that sounds so goddamn frightening. And in fact, I think when I saw one of the documentaries that was on not that long ago, I think it was probably a Davina McCall one, they came out with some stat that I can't remember exactly what it is, but it was worth the effect of if you take HRT, you have got a 60% less chance of getting osteoporosis or something like that. It was like a really powerful statistic that is going to send every woman running to get HRT. And it made me kind of think, oh God, well, I don't want to get HRT, but I don't want osteoporosis either.
But there's so much fear mongering, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
The way I like to put it, it may not be an exact example, but we managed with a lower level of estrogen progesterone before puberty.
Yeah, true.
So, you know, it's about looking after the whole endocrine system. But when it comes to bones, yes, less estrogen means more brittle bones.
Yeah.
But there is something you can do about that. You can do weight-bearing exercise. Weight-bearing means where you're on your feet and you've got the weight of your feet, and you can do impact exercise. So, you know, it might be jumping or running, although I would say be very careful with running, because if you're tired, you should not be doing that kind of intense exercise. And muscle strengthening, because when the muscles pull on the bones, it strengthens them.
Would you recommend actually training with weights?
Yes, but gently.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You know, like, I think those bands are better.
Yes, and they're really good.
But a lot of women, I think, have got used to doing intense exercise in their earlier years and then think, oh my God, I'm putting on weight. In fact, I was just talking to one this afternoon who's just joined my group program. And she was, when she came to me, she said, I can't control the weight. I'm absolutely exhausted. I tried to sort it out with diet, but she obviously wasn't doing the right diet. She was doing a premenopausal diet. And she said, I did intense work with a personal trainer and nothing has shifted.
Yeah.
And that's because of her adrenals. If you, again, it's if you work them too hard when you're tired, you can actually make the whole situation worse.
Yeah. Now, of course, what's really interesting here is that, you know, again, in olden days, our mums would have just been doing physical work, probably on their hands and knees, scrubbing the kitchen floor. Well, we don't do that anymore, right? You know, we kind of walk in, spray something and hope for the best. They would have actually been doing really physical work, right?
Yeah.
And they wouldn't have been going to the gym.
No, exactly. we substitute the gym for other things. So,
It's a difficult one, though, isn't it? Because I have also heard the argument that, you know, it's all very well, this stuff that I'm saying. But the reality is we are living longer now. We're living longer. We want to look and feel great as we age. We want to contribute, you know. Yeah. So in those ways, it is very different. I would not want to be at, you know, 65, how my mum was at 65. That's the reality of it. Yeah. I fully expect to be, you know, working and very active and all the rest of it. So because of that, you know, there is an argument that says, because of the way we've evolved and changed, and because, yeah, we do still want to have it all, that's it, that's the way it is, then there is this stuff available that can keep us young, so we should be taking it.
Yeah, well, I it's interesting you say that, because I've had a couple of people say to me, one was in a talk where I was listening to menopause specialist gynecologist and someone else who'd been to see a private menopause doctor. And both of them said, well, the stats that the mortality rates show, and I'm going to counter this, but the mortality, that the reason they give for taking HRT is that we live much longer. In 1920, apparently the census showed that women were dying somewhere in their 50s. Not women were dying. That's the wrong way of expressing it. The average age of mortality of death was 50. The average age, and therefore, because we live much longer, we live without the estrogen that they weren't, because they were dead. And so we need to have HRT. But I have to say that's a complete misinterpretation of the statistics,
because they were dying for other reasons.
Because the mortality
was linked to all sorts of other things
of children in 1920 was enormous. A lot of kids didn't get past five. And then the mortality in childbed.
Yes, exactly.
A lot of women were dying in childbirth. If you got past having your children, you would have lived to a ripe old age. So, sorry.
And let's just talk about sleep. I mean, sleep is one of the things that is, it can just be so difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, that I have personal experience of that. Before I hit menopause, I slept like a log. Like 2 minutes and I'd be gone. Even in hot weather, or, you know, everybody else is not sleeping, I was asleep. And when I hit post, it wasn't in my perimenopause, but once my period stopped, then sleep became a real issue. And there can be many reasons for it. So there can be a liver reason. So if you're waking between 1 and 3, that's probably to do with a liver issue.
Oh, yeah. I remember that well.
Yeah.
I remember waking up at about 5 to 3 every single day with a voice, which was probably coming from the liver, saying, you've got to stop drinking.
It's the liver time in the Chinese medical clock. It's the liver time. Then there's the adrenals. So again, adrenals are the ones that have to work extra hard. They produce our stress hormones. Many women in menopause, like I did in my perimenopause, their adrenals get so tired that they are wired and tired. The adrenals are like completely dysregulated. They're supposed to calm down, you know, before, from kind of 5 o'clock onwards. That's when the cortisol comes down, which is your wake-up hormone, and the melatonin, which is sleepy hormone, increases. So that's supposed to calm down. But if you're exhausted and you're pushing yourself, then you're pushing your adrenals to produce when they actually just want to rest. And then when you get to bed, they won't shut down. So it's typical with adrenal fatigue that you have a crash of energy between 9 and 10.
Yeah.
You push through it and then you can't get to sleep till 1 in the morning.
Yeah.
Or if you wake at 2, often women wake at 2 with like palpitations or feeling anxious, that's the adrenals.
So how do we support our adrenals? Does it come back to kind of being kind to ourselves and self-care and actually go to bed rather than pushing through it?
Yeah, I mean, stress is the number one cause and exacerbator of menopause symptoms. And so you have to approach it from multiple angles. So the things that you should cut to protect your adrenals: sugar, white carbs, caffeine, sorry girls, alcohol, spices, hard cheese, oranges, those all stimulate the adrenals.
Right.
And so often people with dysregulated adrenals self-medicate with sweets, you know, sweet snacks in the afternoon, cup of tea, cup of coffee, caffeine to keep them going, but it's false energy that you have, it's borrowed.
Yes.
You know, and it will just, I talk about the adrenals as they're like our horses because they give us our horsepower. Without our adrenals, we couldn't get out of bed. But also you can overwork them. So if you can imagine your adrenals are exhausted, you get that mid-afternoon slump, which is another adrenal sign of tired adrenals, and you are driven to keep going because you're not allowed to go and have a sleep in this society.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you've got kids to look
after. How dare you?
Well, you've got, you've got kids to look after. Exactly. So what do you do?
Well, that's the other issue around this whole thing, isn't it? Now women now are trying to work full time, trying to deal with their own kids and their elderly parents. That wouldn't have happened.
Sandwich generation. Really difficult. So then what you do, you self-medicate with coffee or sugar, and that is the equivalent of flogging the horse, which is collapsed on the ground, to get up.
Yeah, makes absolute sense. There's so much I want to talk to you about very briefly. What about when people say, well, it's all very well, but I've totally lost my libido. Is that meant to happen on account of we're not meant to have any more babies?
Not necessarily, no. And it depends on the kind of hormone imbalance that you get, because everybody's hormone imbalance is different as they go through menopause. And I've come across women who have the hormone imbalance where the libido increases.
Right.
So, you know, it's to do with a drop in the hormones, the estrogen, and also the testosterone. And that also is created by in the adrenals.
Yeah.
Self-care, you know, we were talking about how do you look after adrenals. Food is one thing, sleep is the other, stress.
So
you know, we have a lot of internally generated stress, and this is another of the things that I address on my group program. Is we look at food, we look at sleep, we look at movement, but a big section is about stress and internally generated stress. So you know, we all have often these very unconscious conversations going on in our heads, which make us very driven. I should, I must, I ought, I can't do this, I must be on time for that, I have to have, you know, something in my diary every day. I mean, the first thing that I started to do was actually just put less in my diary. People would have to wait.
So reduce the stress. I love it. Yeah, fantastic. There's so much we could talk about. We'll have to have you back, I think. But tell us a little bit about what you offer then, Sarah, how you work with people.
So I work in two main ways. So I work with a one-to-one, where it's a Thrive, it's like an advanced menopause program, and it has three elements to it. So we do advanced hormone testing. It's testing that you don't get on the NHS, test 35 hormones. including the adrenal hormones. And then, so you have testing, then you have 6 sessions of homeopathy with me, and which are, it's like bespoke homeopathic treatment. And then you get 2 sessions with a nutritionist, where she will debrief you on the test to say, you know, just look at where your weaknesses are, and then create a program, a nutritional lifestyle program for you that suits your particular hormone imbalance. So that's one way of working. And then I have a group program, which is where it's like a hybrid. It's a curated pathway of bite-sized pre-recorded videos teaching you a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
That even doctors don't talk about, or maybe even know the role of the adrenals, the liver, the gut, the thyroid.
Yeah.
And then you do testing around what is the condition of your adrenals and liver, and you get a bit of guidance from me with a homeopathic support. And then you learn from 6 other experts about nutrition, sleep, different types of movement. If you're exhausted, like yin yoga, like Qigong, and then I have a whole section on stress, like attitude, mindfulness, how to deal with stressful relationships. So that is like a pre-recorded where you do it you watch the videos in your own time, and then every 2 weeks you turn up to a live group call where you get support, you can get coaching, and you get made accountable for implementing what you're learning. Because it's one thing to watch a video, but you've got to implement it.
Absolutely.
So those are the 2 main ways.
Brilliant. And it's thrivehomeopathy.com, is that right?
Yeah, thrivehomeopathy.com. Yeah, and if you go to the menopause page, all that stuff is on there.
Great. Sarah, thank you so much. You've been a great, great guest. I love your approach. And thank you. I really appreciate you taking the time to share this stuff with us. Thank you.
It's been such a pleasure, Janie. Thanks very much for inviting me.
So thank you, Sarah. I really hope that conversation has inspired you to just think bigger, really. I really think everyone has to do their own research. This has to be something that you make your decision. And I know there'll be people who've listened to this and that they're thinking, I don't care. I love my HRT. I'm sticking with my HRT. And of course, that's okay. It's just one of those areas where I think we need to really dig deep into that holistic picture and look at the impact that everything has on everything else. You know, that's the thing, really, isn't it? It's very easy for the medical profession to just pick out one tiny little aspect of what's going on, but actually it really is the holistic picture that's important. So check out Sarah's work, and obviously any feedback, then drop me a message, and I'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free, Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.